end.
Right? That's exactly how it happened.
Yep.
That's a good story. That is a good story.
All right,
were we recording?
How long have we been recording?
35 minutes.
So let's begin by explaining what just happened.
What did just happen? Besides, you mean interrupting someone else's show?
So we're here recording live on tape again at the Improv, the world-famous Hollywood Improv.
Live
which is
on
kind
tape
of
with no tape.
Become our de facto home for the moment. We hop around, but lately it's been the Improv, which I like.
Do you guys want to bring a tent and sleep up here one night?
Nope.
And we're on the roof again. And here was the issue, though. We couldn't get onto the roof because you have to walk through the podcast studio to get here. And the red light was on outside the door. And then the sign said, do not enter, podcast going on.
Even worse is they were doing an actual show where they
a
script.
Hold on. So I'm like, who cares, man? It's just a podcast. Let's just do it. Let's just go through it. But the door was locked. And then you went and you got that gentleman who was very nice and accommodating.
Jamie,
and he had the same attitude I did, which is like, hey, who cares?
Yeah.
So I'm imagining.
Cut to somebody's walking through our show.
Three fuckheads like us just sitting around going, and then my mom came over and she said she got stung by a bee. Some bullshit, right? But no, the guy was actually doing like old radio time play from the 40s. Like he was in in the middle of like acting his balls off.
We disrupted.
And you could just hear like us walking.
We disrupted Stephen Kramer Glickman's podcast.
Who?
Judging by the fact that he's got like 300,000 Twitter followers, I think it might be popular. I don't know though.
The only thing that could have been worse is if like it was
four hot chicks.
I bet
no worse, like a minority woman crying about how she was like raped in Afghanistan.
We're like,
that's the only way it could have been worse.
Less than 2 minutes in, rape reference.
They dragged me onto the roof. We're like, can we get on the roof?
That would have been worse.
Or it's four super hot chicks going, I'm going to fuck the next three guys that walk through that door. And we're like, sorry, we got to do a podcast on the roof.
You know what? I don't know about your commitment, but that's exactly what I was saying. That's exactly what I would do.
Do you think we're going to get any new listeners by people walking by and overhearing this conversation?
I hope. Probably. Probably some birds.
The after disaster.
Some birds. Hey, if you're local and you ever drive by the Improv and you see the sign that's hanging off the roof, know that we did a very famous podcast right at the base of that.
About 15 feet from it.
On the roof. All right,
I like this podcast studio, frankly. I think it's invigorating. I think it's refreshing.
It feels like we're part of the city.
It feels like we're outdoors.
We are.
Technically.
Oh, yeah. That's why.
Can I begin by saying thank you to both of you guys for really, really showing up and giving the listeners a really good show on Saturday at our live show.
Oh, I thought you were going to say tonight. I was like, that's a lot of pressure.
I think you did most of the talking.
Don't remember ever being that off in my life in any aspect. Whether
I was going to say, you were terrible.
I had nothing.
No,
had
that's
nothing.
Not true. You had a lot. And I'll tell you something.
I felt uncomfortable the whole time. My brain was not with me. And I was sweating and just...
I gotta
every
say,
other thing I've ever done
we need to
live,
get a, we need to
I
fix,
felt better about.
We need to fix
but
this
But you
problem.
Two were very funny, no, and you guys were really on. Thank God.
Maybe it's my attitude, but the entire time, every time we do a live podcast, all I'm thinking of is people are bored. Like, that's all I'm thinking.
But
I'm
I
like,
think
they're
they
bored.
Are.
They're bored. I think so, too.
I think they are, but then when they go back and listen, I don't think they are. Because we've had listeners in the studio with us, and like they're just completely bored to death. And they're like, how? I see them questioning their taste in things, thinking like, they're actually thinking this silently. I'm on the show right now. I have no idea how I ever listened to the show. This show is awful.
Yeah.
But then they send me emails later saying I went back and listened to the show, and it was great.
Yeah, it's a bizarre.
It is odd.
Well, there's something to be said about the fact that for this show, when we record it for the last almost 6 years, we are talking amongst ourselves. And whenever we've done a live show, we start to immediately face and try to interact with the audience.
Right. Which isn't...
We don't really talk to each other. We sort of like
maybe
are
that's,
talking out at them.
Yeah, that could be what our approach next time is, that we just do
our
regular
back.
Thing and act like the audience isn't there.
We talked about that for the first one, but it wouldn't... We have to do something where we interact with the audience.
Sure.
And
yeah,
it's
I mean, you should... Obviously, the crowd wants to be acknowledged, but we shouldn't necessarily try to... Just sit there and have a conversation.
I love the idea of doing a show on a semi-regular basis in that small room.
Me too.
But there was something more intimidating about the small room than the big room.
No, I like small room way better.
I can't explain it.
I'm absolutely with you.
Really?
The big room is terrifying, but the small room is like, oh, God.
Really terrifying.
Yeah.
I like small. Yeah. Small room feels more like us, more
very
like,
big room, just more energy, and I felt
room,
like...
The small room is going to be much better in the very near future because they're making some changes in there. They're all for the better.
Okay.
Losing the tables, putting little tiny small cocktail tables in so that people are jammed together.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a nice little room.
I got some ideas
it
about doing
it sounds good in there.
A
it's
semi
easy to see. It's comfortable to sit in.
Basis.
It's
sure.
a good room.
With the two of you guys. We'll talk about that off air, but I got a couple ideas, and they're pretty basic, pretty easy, and okay. I think we should do it like maybe once every month, once every six months.
Hey, well, if we don't even do the small room, we can do that room, the lounge room.
Mm-hmm.
That we could jam 25 or 30
people. Go in the lounge room? That's the podcast room.
No, we could do that.
Okay. So stories from that night.
Yeah.
And then we'll get on to something where you got an embarrassing story.
No, it's a story. It's from the night.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I have a story from that night.
I don't know if you guys realize, but
you got a little schmutz.
Where?
Right. Other nose. Other nose.
No, not in my nose.
There you go.
You're yeah. making it sound like it's in my nose.
No.
That's even worse.
It's in your other nose.
It was on my cheek, and it was part of the...
It was in the crater between the cheek and the nostril.
You must yeah. know it's goat cheese from the taco that I just inhaled. I just inhaled taco.
Wow.
Do you guys realize that it was the attack of the call, the listeners there at the end of the show?
Attack of the listeners?
Attack of the listeners.
It happened. Yeah. You were fed alive, right?
What happened?
Okay, so it began with Daniel, who evidently I called a fuck on this here program.
Mm.
So live
right.
or...
All right, so... Most everyone listening to this right now has not heard the live show, right? And they have no reference point.
Most of the people have not.
So at the end of the show, I think it's on the show. I think it's...
Okay.
Listener Daniel, who I recognized, gets up and he wants to say something. Right? We've already had McAllister on, which I felt like I could have interviewed him better. I felt bad afterwards. Mm. It's kind of made it awkward for him, I think.
But well, we definitely weren't very welcoming, making people like stand off to like the side of the stage in the
yeah,
shadows.
It wasn't like, come on up here, we want to talk to you. We
although
stand
that does
there.
Make it easier to get rid of them. If they're
and,
not
and
up
there's
on stage.
No audio for them either.
So Daniel comes up, and he's a little bit... Well, he's a fuck. No, but
he's worse. He's
you know. He was angry with me because I referred to him as a fuck on the podcast.
For real angry or jokingly angry?
He had a little... You could tell. He was a little bit like... I don't know if it was nervousness or like... genuine anger, a little bit of mixture, but he had showed up to a cold cockle night last year, and we talked after the show a bit, and he was the guy that said, hey, I listen to the program because I relate to you and Mike because I too am socially
yeah.
awkward.
Yeah, I love that quote.
But I really like it because Tyler is so funny and I want to be like him. And that's what I heard, and I swear to God, that's what he said. So I brought it up on
that fuck
on
and
the
I,
show.
I echo that sentiment.
And I said, this fuck came up and said this to me. So Daniel calls me on that shit at the live show, at the very end of the live show. And I could tell he wasn't happy with it. It wasn't like, oh, that's so funny you said that. Like, he was a little bit like, I wish you hadn't. Kind of annoyed me. You called me a fuck, which was a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Now we're clearing out. The show's over, right? I'm saying hello to people, bye to people.
And he's stretching.
Trying to get everybody out. Really nice kid comes up to me, not a fuck, and he goes, hey, Anderson, I just want to say that you guys have never offended me ever on the podcast until last week. I'm Mexican, and I was a little bit offended last week.
Oh, God. What was it?
And it was because I was talking about that song that I really liked from Better Call Saul.
I didn't think that was offensive.
Oh,
yeah.
That song's all about pussies, by the way.
Cuckoo. It's a great song, but he misread it somehow. Then I go outside. And listener Jeff, who I've been going back and forth with via email for years.
Pransky.
Mm-hmm. Pransky comes up to me, and he starts talking to me a little bit, too. Introduces himself.
He might be the only wit quicker than Scott.
He's very witty.
Like, he tweets this shit that I'm like, God damn.
And he says, hey, you called me creepy once. And I didn't really like that. I felt like Daniel broke the seal.
Yeah.
And
then now people can come out
and
with
and you guys
their
were nowhere
concerns.
To be found. I was out front by myself.
Well, let me just say for the record, nobody has been made to look weirder, creepier, or more like a fuck than me.
What?
So why are you guys getting upset?
How are you?
Every single comment is about me fucking someone underage and me doing this and me doing that and me
for the record,
out my dick.
For the record, I'm not upset.
Okay. Yeah, I felt like I had a couple cheap shots on you, too, and I felt bad about that. I felt bad about everything when I left.
That one app, that robot was really hard on you.
Tyler put together this thing, which was genius, and it was fantastic.
It was pretty genius, but I was kind of like, ah.
And because it was somewhat of a celebration, it was a live show, but also it was a celebration of Mike, because it was a special occasion for him. So Tyler put together a bunch of out-of-context mic drops, which were very funny.
Shout out to a bunch of those were from a listener that had sent me them like 3 years ago, and they've just been in my email. So I've saved you for multiple years.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
And then I shit on it.
I want to get back to the show, but I want to tell you what happened after the show. Of course, I'm all jacked up when the show's over, and I can't sleep. And I go home, and I go to bed, and I can't sleep. And I get up, and I go for a walk, and then I go back home, and I go to bed again. And a second time, And about 2:30, I wake up and I'm like, fuck this. I'm up. And I'm in the parking lot of the Sportsman's Lodge.
Mm-hmm. As you're wont to do.
I see some guy.
He's a sportsman. He sees a lodge.
Empty parking lot. I see some guy walking towards me. Untucked white baggy t-shirt, baggy pants. And I'm like, oh, motherfucker.
Anderson's back.
It's a dude that just lost a bunch of weight.
Hey, can you give me a ride to the barrio, bro? I went, nope.
Oh, no.
And he goes, I just need a ride to the barrio. And I went, yeah, I'm sorry.
No one
can't.
Says barrio.
That's what he said. I swear to
if
God.
If I saw the sketch, I'd be offended because it's poorly written.
God, that's why I thought it was weird because I don't even know if that's a real thing.
No, it's not.
And then he goes, I just got stabbed, bro. And that's when I noticed blood, like his entire arm, blood running down his arm over his hand. And I said, you want me to call 911? He went, no. And he just left.
That's always a good sign. And someone's like, why do you mortally wounded and doesn't want the cops involved.
Drive him to the barrio. You got to drive him to the barrio.
I told Tara that happened. Old She's
Hernandez
like, did you give
a
ride?
Got
I was like,
a
no.
stab. Barrio.
I lied. I completely pushed out and lied.
You lied to her to him. Me? Or
he goes, why not? And I'm waiting for someone. 2:45 in the morning, I'm in the parking lot at Sportsman's Lodge.
He's
I'm
like,
waiting.
Yeah, you're waiting for me. You're my guardian
I'm
angel, Puto.
I'm waiting for someone. Hey, let's get in your car, man.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe you didn't give him a ride.
I can't give somebody a ride.
Though.
I can. No, I'm not giving someone a ride in any car.
It's true.
I'm not giving some guy that got stabbed in the middle of in a goddamn parking lot.
Oh, what
who
if
just
that,
approaches me?
What if he was
going
to stab you? What if it wasn't a real wound?
What if
the stabber got
shitty
me after
sting?
Him?
I'm going to hang out in the empty parking lot at 2:45 in the morning of Sportsman's Lodge with fake blood, hoping that some dude shows up.
Plus, if sportsmen show up, I'm not going to be able to get the other.
They got a deer rifle. If the sportsman shows up.
I wonder if that would have got laughed Saturday night. You were really killing it Saturday. You were at your top form. You were good.
Tell me more. Okay, this is a good segue into my embarrassing story.
All right. And then I have a tragic story about one of our listeners and our show.
I also have these gifts that I forgot to give you that
Mike
Vandy Camp brought to you guys.
Maybe. Mike just rolls right over the tragedy.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Okay, great. Thank you. Oh, look at that, ties. Oh, this is from Diana. Oh.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, I told you.
It's very, very nice. Thanks, Diana.
I forgot
for
to give them to you guys. I took everything home myself.
Why did she give us gifts if it's your birthday?
Because she loves us.
Oh, that's very sweet.
I was also at the end of the show, listener Steven, who brought his girlfriend who listened to one episode, he brought me 15 iPhone chargers so that I never had an excuse to not have my iPad and drops charged.
Guess what's not charged?
Guess what's not charged?
That's great.
So, oh, hey.
Which one was Steven?
The one with the 15 iPhone chargers. Welcome to the program, everybody. I'm Anderson. That is Mike Carano. To my left on the roof, there's Ty Ty.
Was he the guy that had the
being
hot girlfriend?
Superfluous.
To my right on the roof, he's very superfluous at the moment. And this is the After Disaster. Thanks for tuning in.
Note, you may have heard our appearance on the Steve Breckenhour show. What was that? What's that guy's name?
Stephen Kramer Glickman.
If you listen to that while he's doing funny voices,
when
you
some
might
guy
hear...
says that someone has a gun to his head in an old timey voice, that's right when we walked through.
Yeah, don't badmouth Glickman. He's going to get me into the Henson Studios. He's got an office in there.
Not anymore. And we were
John Henson.
That's pretty we sweet. Were about this close, I think, to that guy not having a key and having to shuffle back out. Awkwardly through their recording.
Hey, in fairness to them, everyone on the show, other than the guy reading in the old-timey voice, all of them waved to us, and they're very accommodating.
I didn't look at anyone.
Everybody waved.
I was afraid it was like the Eye of Ra, and you'd get like killed if you looked at someone.
Don't know what the Eye of Ra is.
I don't know. I might have made something up.
I looked and quietly waved to everybody, like tried to get their attention with the, sorry.
Oh, that's
sorry.
What they were doing.
Yeah, so they're like,
you were behind me. I thought they were just being friendly. They were just reacting to your
overt. I was going, sorry.
Sorry.
I need to go yell on the roof about my dick.
I've never done that. I've never yelled about my dick.
My dick!
Jesus.
That's not too shabby, though.
It was incredibly professional. So you were talking about how funny I was. Clearly, I must have thought that I was very funny that evening because at the end of the show...
I love how the story begins.
At the end of the show... A listener comes up on the stage and hands me like our like paper, like talking about the show or whatever. And it's like, oh, can you sign this? I was like, yeah, sure. And I saw you guys had signed it. And I circled my name and I wrote the best. And then as I started to write it, I realized this guy works at the improv. And this just has something to do with us being in the lab.
That's they have everybody sign all the lineups.
You know what I said to that guy? I'm like, that's a new one. And I just signed it. That's but funny. So he knew in his head, he's thinking, this fucking idiot thinks
that is great.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, Thanks for the help tonight.
That is embarrassing.
So somewhere there's a paper that has my name circled. It says the best.
That's fantastic. I wonder what they do with all that stuff, because they have every comic sign them every single night.
Mm.
So I wonder where that shit is and why it has any value whatsoever.
It releases just to prove that people knew they were there performing.
Speaking of the improv,
I just felt sick because of a text that I just got. But go ahead.
From,
I don't.
Just say it.
Are you going to get back to the improv here in a second? All right.
Sure.
Quick interlude here. I just got a text from producer Ann on Loveline. Tonight's our second to last night of the show ever. Some guy named Whiskey Pete is going to be co-hosting on the second
to
ever.
That's right. I'll be talking about your addiction.
Second to ever.
And cuckoos. And
the penultimate Loveline, which means second to last. And the kid that's co-hosting.
I need to change
from
the,
all accounts.
I need to change the name of my pen company.
A nice kid. He has zero to do with Loveline. He has, as far as I know, no on-air experience. And somebody higher up said, "Hey, oh, it's your dream to do Loveline, like a Make-A-Wish thing. Yeah, you can have the second to last night. Sure, it's all
like
yours."
A Make-A-Wish thing, but he's not
cancer?
Sick.
He's not sick. And
what if he find out he is sick?
It's just infuriating to
he
me.
Dies tomorrow.
By no means do I want to be co-host with Drew for the last night. That's not what I'm getting at before anyone jumps to conclusions. What I'm saying is it should at least be somebody who has something to do with the show, or even a listener or something, anything. Tomorrow night, the last night, is going to be Corolla.
I think
that makes
such
sense.
A bummer the way this is ending.
The fact
up.
That we're having Whiskey Pete.
Oh, they should have got...
It's upsetting. And then I just got a text just now from Ann saying that Fox 11 News is going to be there covering... the show tonight. I don't know why they're doing tonight, not tomorrow night. And Whiskey Pete's going to be in there like he's part of the 33-year legacy that is Loveline.
No.
Guys, man, this is terrible. Let me just be here to tell everyone listening that as far as radio goes, I can't speak to other professions, but as far as radio goes, there is loyalty doesn't mean a shit.
Yep.
Well, I have never once called in sick. I've been in there pretty much every night other than nights that I'm at camp or I have like a trip planned or something. I'm in there every fucking night, and you would have no idea that I am even on the show.
I don't think it's
anything.
I don't think
show.
It's just radio. I think that
now
is
you know how I feel on this.
I
show.
Think that transcends through most of show business, and I think loyalty was a thing in the past. I think when you put in your time,
oh, it's
you
a thing of the
rewarded.
Past, all right.
It's not like I want any.
Now I know exactly what it is because it's kind of bumming me out in a big way how the show is ending. It's a last week and no one gives a fuck because they should have. It should have been all special guests. It shouldn't have been
the fact that even though it's
it
just,
shouldn't have been people that want to just plug shit that's happening now. It should have been no. It's going to be five nights of special guests. Like
I mean,
like people
there will be a history of Loveline, and on the history, whether it's Wikipedia or whatever, the annals of that Loveline history is going to show Whiskey Pete. As the second-to-last
right.
ever co-host
second
on
to last
Loveline.
And number one
and
yeah.
he has
in listeners' hearts.
He's never even called into the show.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow night on our last night, we got a bunch of Corolla people coming to watch the death of the show. They have nothing to do with the fucking show.
It's fucking terrible how it's ending. Mm. It's
and
terrible.
I wanted to get hammered and go in there tonight. Now I can't because that'll be a bad look on Fox.
So
I'm not.
Whiskey,
I'm not
you don't think Whiskey Pete's going to be drinking?
I'm not signing any goddamn release forms.
You don't think
it's
going
to be a blurry
Pete?
Thing with a snake
hey,
tattoo?
Why don't you just put on a goddamn After Disaster shirt?
Yeah,
and answer all the questions. So and be the
Do
only.
You guys have
like,
one?
Be the only.
No.
Not with me. Be the only likable guy in the room. So they use all your clips.
You know how hard that is for me to be the only likable guy in the room.
Anderson has been alone in rooms and not been the most likable guy in that room.
Hey, you know what you should do if you get any FaceTime with the camera. Go, yeah, you know what I miss most about the show is the after show, the Loveline After Disaster,
yeah.
which is now just a podcast, but that continues on.
Yeah, on top of roofs.
I've been on in many rooms with many cameras, as you can imagine, being on Loveline and various other shows for years.
You could say we're on top of the comedy world right now.
And one of my least favorite people that I've ever... It's a good one, Ty.
Thanks.
One of the least my least favorite people I've ever had to work with in this business.
Yeah, Whiskey Pete.
I've not worked with him yet. That might be my sentiment tomorrow. But no, his name's Ron Harris. And
Ron Harris.
He was an engineer who was a real prick to
he
me for
treat.
About 15 years.
He was a real treat.
Just a typical like IT engineering prick, right?
Yeah.
Love you, Ron.
Asperger's or something.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of Ron, but every time I was in the same room with him,
he's
I wanted to
He's a great like character
him.
If he was on a TV show.
And I've never forgot one of
Not
the first times
person.
I was ever on a radio show where a TV crew came in.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't even joking. There was no humor in it when he went and he made my because he was sitting next to me. He had to do some technical bullshit in the room. Now looking back on it, I realized that he set it up so that he could be in there because he knew the crew was coming
yeah,
in.
Yeah, sure.
And he went over and he adjusted my chair, so I went down lower. And he made his hire. And I said, what are you doing? It's kind of hard for me to work from down here because I'm still running the show. He goes, oh, whenever there's TV crews in here, I always make sure that I'm the highest one in the room. Not joking at all. Ever since that moment, because of my hatred for Ron Harris.
What did you do?
I just thought, I'm never going to forget this moment.
Why didn't you just put your chair right back up?
Ever since then, every time there's a TV crew in the room, make sure that I am the lowest or the least available FaceTime-wise. I turn my back. I avoid at all costs just to be unlike Ron Harris. Oh, I hate that fuck.
That's interesting.
Love you, Ron.
It's a really
extreme. This is really turning into a bitter night.
Because
now I'm angry. I'm fucking pissed off. Like a show that I grew up listening to that I loved, that meant so much to me, and all of a sudden now it's like just whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of like
whatevs.
It's kind of like your dog getting put down, but like, yeah, we'll just have that guy do it.
If you take calls, that's going to be even more of a waste.
Imagine putting your dog down and there's like people that you don't like who have nothing to do
with
your dog.
I'm more of a cat person. Yeah.
They've
Fox is coming in to cover your dogs.
Never pet your dog or met your dog, and they want to come watch your dog get put down.
Yeah.
Imagine that!
Yeah, I am.
Sorry, I just yelled. I screamed. I'm sorry. I'm very angry.
And I'm fucking pissed now. My fucking dog. God damn those assholes, motherfuckers.
Are you cold, too?
I'm freezing.
Yeah, I was wondering about those bare arms. Your tank top was a strange choice.
This is negative. Let me bring some more negative into it.
You're going to say something good about the improv.
I was going to say it's not good. I brought it up at the bar.
Any hostesses?
Maybe. You know what?
Hostesses.
It would be a pleasure to work in the ticket booth with that hot ticket girl.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I'm not looking to work with hot people.
Look down there and look at her. She's fucking stunning. She's beautiful.
I don't think we're going to be the creepy guys looking at a girl from the roof.
You're not going to be able to see it from here. Sorry, the window's going
to
be covered.
You need it for me to get up.
I know. We'll do it on the way out. There's a bartender here named Ashoka.
Should you be saying the name?
Half black.
Based on the story you're about to tell?
Half black.
Okay.
I gave you a chance. I'm painting a picture.
Mm-hmm.
As everybody knows, people who are half black are very attractive.
Okay.
He's not an ugly person.
Okay.
He appears.
Oh, why are you doing this?
Because
I just realized what you're doing.
I am fascinated by this.
Why are you doing this?
He appears to be a super sweet, nice guy to me. As long as I've known him,
he
about
was
a
our
year.
Our bartender for the live show.
And he told me I can't.
He told
get
me
it.
Moments
I've
ago. He told
girlfriend.
Me moments ago that our listeners were great and that they bought lots
he,
of booze
he
and he was
did
very
they?
Happy.
And thank you guys.
He said it was the best.
We were talking best
crowd he's seen for a podcast in there yet. That's what he told us.
We were talking about online dating.
But
and he
in his
goes,
defense, he only worked at that girls' night.
No, but he said he cannot meet girls. And he goes, I'm 33. I've never had a girlfriend. And I went, that's just not true. And he goes, it's true. And I look at him. I'm like, he's a good-looking guy. Mm-hmm. He's quick. He seems super sweet.
How was he saying it, though? Was he saying it like he was bummed
no,
or was
he
it
was,
just fat?
He was telling me that he's been on online dating sites for the last 6 months to a year.
I thought he was
going to
reveal like
get a date.
Next
and
week
like,
that he's gay.
How is this possible?
I'm imagining that if you look back at the video of him talking to Mike, he's like, yeah, man, I'm 33. I'm a bartender here. Never had a girlfriend. Like, he's like, oh, it's awesome. And you're like, I need to help this poor young man.
No, he's very serious. And I told him I may bring it up on the podcast because I think it's fast. I don't understand how that guy doesn't have chicks throwing themselves at him.
Mm-hmm. So if you want,
and he said he's like repellent to girls.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to suck a dick, you come to improv.
No, I'm like, are you with me on this at all?
I'm trying
Does
to hook
he look
him
like
up.
The kind of guy that shouldn't have a date?
Here's what I think the problem might be. He looks like he could be a jihadist.
Oh, my God.
No, that might be it.
Could be part of it.
That might be it.
Plenty of those guys have wives and ladies.
He's like half black,
half
Jewish.
Some of them get seven virgins.
So that's probably why, yeah.
Did you watch that awful video of the Paris bomber?
I don't watch things, Tyler.
Yeah, they released a video. I haven't watched it either. I've only seen the screen grab. It's one of the guys from the Paris attacks.
Yeah.
He detonates his suicide belt, but he did it wrong, so he only killed himself in a restaurant. It was like if someone had set off a suicide bomb in our show on Saturday. And
that would have been good press.
It was all over Facebook as if this was okay because you don't see him dying. But the exact moment that his like thing is exploding, and it's like obviously part of that is like his back juices.
All right. Why are you bringing this to the... We are a lot of things on the show, even though I say we're not that show, but we are definitely not that show.
We played audio of a guy murdering people.
Yeah, that was the worst. That was the lowest point. That was the lowest point of the show.
Which and I totally forgot about until right now.
That was the only...
Nope, wrong. When we did Destination Disaster number 1 from Death Valley at Badlands. That was... Or Badwater.
That was the lowest point of the show.
Not bad. That wasn't terrible. Bump it.
I think that was maybe still got it.
God, I love that show.
There were probably three times in the history where I was sick to my stomach about what happened on the air.
Uh-huh.
And I think one was probably alcohol related, where we just
guzzled an entire thing of eggnog,
probably, and just said whatever we felt like saying. And I'm sure it involved the P word,
pussy,
penis.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one. I'm sure we were just like, pussy, or something. I remember there was something
prep school
that was grotesquely uncharacteristic of how we normally talk. And it was very sexual.
Plantains?
And I remember driving home going,
pepperoni.
I absolutely regret the fact that that's out there. Whiskey whatever we were saying.
Yeah, but, you know, it's
in fairness to me,
it's kind of iconic now.
Originally heard it on a very popular, the most popular AM station in Los Angeles in the middle of the day, okay?
Yeah.
I think that our hardcore podcast listeners who found this on the internet and download it can handle it.
I disagree. It's very different.
I gave a
people
lot of
listen to podcasts with headphones on and you're surrounded by death.
That's a good point.
You're close.
We're never again. And we gave them birth.
Never again,
we
never
made
again.
Up for it.
Yeah.
We played a couple births.
Yeah,
we made up for it. Anderson ripping out an IV out of Jillian.
Yeah, that was a highlight. That was a great time.
Yeah.
What are we doing? What are we doing? A retrospective? Is this show ending too?
Maybe.
Hey, Whiskey Pete, welcome.
Get in here.
Our new co-host, Whiskey Pete. He's never done it before, but here he is.
How insulting is that? How insulting is that?
It's kind of unbelievable.
It's unfucking believable. It really is.
I have no
affiliation. That's the thing that upsets me the most.
I'm angry.
In talking to other people that work on and around the show, not Drew, but other people, not naming names, but I let them know that that's what's most offensive to me, and they're like, really? There's so many other things that are way more offensive.
Okay, if you were going to do a last week of Loveline, I'd go, let's bring in Petros one night. Let's
Tosh,
bring in somebody
Joel
else
McHale,
one night.
Yeah.
Poor man.
David Allen Greer.
Yes, yes.
Poor man.
And guess what? Just talk about the show. Don't
poor
take
man.
Calls, because there's no reason to have someone calling up, hey, my boyfriend wants me to put a rock up my butt, and then he wants to go dig it out with his teeth.
Through.
Should I let him do it?
That's a pretty
you
good call.
You 100% put that call
through. That was a bad one. My boyfriend really wants me to have anal sex with his entire football
here's,
team, but I don't want to do it.
That's
what should I do?
Here's the genius.
Don't take any calls tonight. Fuck it.
Here's the genius that is Drew. Okay,
good luck, everybody. Go get AIDS.
This is laugh.
Jesus. I can't wait for the next app disaster.
So a couple of nights ago, we need to start taking calls on this show again soon, okay? Because I'm going to lose touch with the people, and that's one of the biggest, other than obviously, you know, probably about 60% of my paycheck, my money going away with Loveline. Not having my finger on the pulse, as it were, I really do feel like I'm kind of tuned in to what's going on.
Let
out
us
there.
Finger your pulse.
Yeah.
So that's actually a line in my script, Ty Ty.
Oh, sorry. Do I get a writing credit?
Now it is.
No, it is.
Yeah, now it is.
But
yeah.
It's fist.
You heard it here first.
Fist on the pulse, and then I have a little wordplay. Anyways.
Oh.
Hey, I just noticed
my line
could
better.
Actually do podcasts up here all the time with.
No,
there's,
not with
there's
people.
Power outlets over there. We could set up lamps, lights.
Okay.
Do a video. We could do a destination disaster.
Posters on the wall. Posters. Listen.
Wait, real quick. Who's the listener who doesn't like
Ashoka
Tyler?
Up here?
Is it Tanya?
Tanya Kruger.
Tanya, not a fan.
Because
she loved the new Destination Disaster.
That's what I was going to say. A couple of posts. Love it. This was fantastic.
Did she really?
Sure
smiley
did.
Faces.
Sure did.
Listen.
Hi, Tanya.
Last night, maybe the night before, it's one of the last nights of Loveline. This actually happened, okay? We are doing, every moment is now precious because Drew and I have been talking about how it feels probably a little bit similar to like finding out that you have like a week left to live.
Yeah.
And just being here in the moment.
Only
and really
totally different.
Appreciating.
Except you're going to stay alive and be super rich.
It is weird though, guys, because the last like 4 or 5 weeks of Loveline, especially since Jillian's been pregnant, been flying by. Just flying by.
It's crazy.
This week has been a really, really long week. I can't believe it's only Wednesday right now.
It's crazy.
And Drew and I were talking last night about how possibly that's what it would feel like if you also get like a 6-month sentence before you die. Maybe if time slows down. He seems to think it does. Anyways. That's all aside. Here's what I'm getting at. Drew and his infinite wisdom. Mm. You know what he wanted to do just last night with one of the last segments we had of Loveline ever?
Whiskey Pete biology.
He wanted me to go online on YouTube and find these Michael Maron cartoons with very good bits. They're very funny bits.
He wanted you to play
chunks
a cartoon
of Loveline from like the mid '90s, or late '90s, early 2000s. He wanted, and they're like 4 minutes each. He wanted me to play a few of those. And I say, Drew, we have very, very limited time left of live radio here. You want me to play like full 4-minute clips from 16 years ago?
Has he been talking about what it meant to him and how the show has evolved? Or is he just doing a regular show?
No, we're taking a lot of introspective calls and people talking about how Loveline's changed their lives or ask Drew anything, which was the thing last
night. Loveline changed my life. My boyfriend used to beat me up and you told me to leave him and I did.
Speedy Gonzalez did not call.
He did
Arriba.
Not.
Did not call.
I'm not going to touch that one.
Well, I was doing an actual caller.
Oh. Someone brought up a good point, though.
My boyfriend hits me, and I don't know what to do.
Why is it only the minorities getting
hit? That was a real call. Real call from, like, maybe 5 years ago.
Did any Italians call?
Hey, I hit my girlfriend. She's a bitch.
Hey, you know what I'm saying.
Hey, you got to treat her like a woman.
I miss Catherine with this week a lot because I'm putting together the last 2 weeks of Best Of, so I'm listening to the shows from earlier in the year. And, you know, I got to listen to 20 hours of Loveline for 2 weeks worth that I got to put together. So I've been hearing a whole lot of Catherine the last couple of days, and I do miss the kid. I miss him.
Can you just rerun the whole time I was on?
Someone pointed out.
You guys should
out.
Both come by tomorrow night, though, okay? We need more of our people than Corolla's people in there.
Yeah, it sounds terrible.
Come on by.
Sounds terrible.
Come on by.
It does sound terrible.
Baby. Can I bring my baby?
No babies.
Okay.
Come on by, though.
Back ribs.
When we were tweeting about the end of Loveline, a listener of this program did mention that amazing that the last word ever uttered on Loveline will be Stanley.
It's a good point. It's a very valid point.
You just got to get out in time. You got to actually...
Is there any way...
I have done it in the past. If I know that Stanley might not get mentioned and it'll get clipped, I'll just hit the button right in the middle of whatever anyone's saying. I don't care.
Is there any way...
Done it before, I'll do it again. Do it again.
That's a great... That's a bright spot.
Can you rig the clocks to buy yourself an extra 15 seconds?
No, because satellites automatically cut us down on most stations.
No, I'm saying you rig it so in the studio it appears that you're 15 seconds ahead. So the show gets wrapped up. And then you still have 15 seconds of airtime.
I can easily turn my mic on after I turn theirs off and say whatever I want. Yeah. I might say, don't forget about the after disaster. I might.
I wouldn't do it, but
I should say Stanley and then his barks and then a cannon.
I'll at least do that. Then, I promise that.
And then a drop of
mic. These are all genius ideas. These are all genius ideas. There will be no mic dropping.
And then play one of our episodes.
The whole episode.
How much time am I folding in space?
God, this is a bummer. Jesus Christ.
End of an era, man. Oh, so I've been getting hit up from all sides for people who want to come see the death of the show.
I'm sure they appreciate the fact that you're like getting hit up by all sides, and then you're telling us, come on, you guys, come by.
Well, you guys are a large part of the show. I don't know why I wouldn't. You guys both have a history with the show.
If Tyler goes, I'll go.
Oh, don't put that on me. I don't think I can. I think I have to watch the baby.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have Dahlia tomorrow night.
Oh, that's worse than having the baby.
Listen. Listen to me. I got emails from two different women today.
We should prank call.
Neither one of which I have any idea who they are. And they're like telling me to bring Stanley, and they really want to see if they can come for the last night, and I have no idea who these people are. I don't even know how to respond. How do you respond to that?
Who are you?
They might be like publicists from like 3-5 years ago. I have no idea. I do not recognize.
Oh, my God, the package. It'll be interesting to see who just shows up thinking they're invited.
Well, it's maybe, like Fort Knox over there. It's going to be tough to get in.
Maybe, what's his face? No, it's too bad I couldn't remember his name. The guy who just showed up that one time. David Arquette. There'd be a nice little button on it if he randomly showed up.
Is there anything I can do for this show during the breaks on the last show, Loveline, that I could use for this show?
Wait, what?
Is there anything? I mean, if I was like a big Instagrammer or a Snapchatter, I'd be all over it, of course. But I'm not, and I don't want to exploit the situation. But is there anything I can do for this show where I can maybe record some audio or something behind the scenes and then use on this show? Is there anything you guys can think of? I should probably be talking to you about this off air.
Maybe you can somehow trick... Whiskey Pete and did no. Maybe you can get Dr. Drew to go, Loveline is over, but the after disaster lives on. No, how about ask Anne if she wants to come over and produce the after disaster? And then record her tears.
So the tragedy of our live show. On do we have a name for our live show in the lab? Do we name it?
I just after that live at the improv.
Fred Wilson?
Listener of the program, one of our $50
not name.
Patreon subscribers.
Wait, who?
One of our $50 Patreon subscribers.
Jordan. Yeah.
Jordan was on the way to the live show, as I knew he would be, because he's a big listener.
As one is wont to do.
And he's a fantastic kid. Took him out for drinks one night a few weeks ago, and we discussed his career path.
Doom.
And I was looking forward to seeing
him. He's co-hosting Loveline tomorrow.
Wait, are you talking about the Jordan?
Shows up at your things?
that brought cupcakes?
No. This Jordan that I'm talking about did not show up.
No, that's
up.
Not Jordan. Sorry.
Yeah, Jordan. The one that brought cupcakes that showed up at on the beach at Rules of Reduction shoot. That was at our show on Saturday. Sorry.
Who cares?
Yes, her name is Jordan. Sorry. And she brought you a cake made out of cupcakes. Yes.
Yes.
I don't know if it's her name or his name. I forget. Anyways, the Jordan I'm talking about, he was coming
They're
with
Tati. Sweet.
Michael Jordan.
It's a small world.
Big fan of the show.
But Tatiana is the name of the girl who runs the board for K-Rock during Loveline. Because okay. It's a really dumb setup. Have I explained how dumb it is in the show?
No. Nope. Right. You have explained it. You don't need to explain
it. Goes up to space and then comes back down to K-Rock.
What?
And it's literally
what?
15 feet away, the studio where it transmits.
That's why they
out
can't
of
afford to keep doing it, because the International Space Station.
It's not why, but it really. I've been trying to get them to take it direct for like the last year and a half, and they can't understand why they should do that. So what I do is I feed it through a Zephyr. It goes to Denver, goes up to space, comes back down to the various stations that it's on, and K-Rock is one of them. So I'm literally sending it when I'm right. I can see them. I could, if I could reach through the glass, I could touch her. But I'm sending the signal of the show to Denver, up to space, and then back to her.
It's like if you
and
want
they lose
to,
the feed all the
it's
time.
It's like if you want to send a letter to your neighbor and you dropped it in the space dropped it in the mailbox
and it goes to space.
It went all the way to the router, central, and came back.
It's like that, but a lot worse.
Email does that, I believe.
So she runs Loveline. She runs the board and plays their own commercials when we go to break, right? And she turns out she's friends with Jordan, just coincidentally, who is a big listener of this program.
Yeah.
And Jordan went to pick up Tatiana. Mm-hmm. To bring her to the live show. They're going
to
be at the live show.
Trying to get
and on his way to pick up Tatiana, he gets T-boned.
Mm.
Oh.
In the middle of the intersection, his I believe it was a newer car, too, completely totaled. And he's still, the kid's a trooper. He's still trying to make it here after
terrible.
All the paperwork and whatnot. He was going to grab an Uber or whatever, but it was by the time he was done with everything, the show was over.
We should do something special for him.
We just did.
Yeah, we talked about his plight.
All right. My hands are clean.
But yeah, sorry about that, Jordan, and I feel awful about that. I really do.
Wow, Tatiana sounds hot, is she?
Oh my god.
What did I say just now that made her sound hot?
Her name is Tatiana.
That's the name.
And he had said last
week. You don't need to answer that actually.
He decided,
that was a weird predicament to put you in.
He decided that Russian girls are the hottest, and
the first Tatiana
sounds like a Russian girl.
She is a very cute girl. The first Tatiana I ever met was a phone sex operator. She worked for my friend Derek, who owned a bunch of phone sex lines at one point.
Did
the
she
attorney?
Have those Tatianas?
Yeah.
He owned phone
he
sex
He owned
lines?
A bunch of 976
what?
Numbers. Yeah, I've talked about it. He used to
you
have
did?
Me call.
He did?
He used to have me call them like when I was living up in
like
Santa Barbara.
A shopper?
Like quality control?
Yeah, like quality control. Because like, they weren't
Mystery
allowed
shopper?
To, they weren't allowed to say any filthy
Jizz,
things.
Jizzery shopper?
I don't know if the FCC was involved, but some government agency was involved so that they weren't allowed to say sexually explicit things even though
Jizz
it was on the phone.
Jizzery shopper?
And so they everything was food innuendos, and I used to have to like try and get them to say
suck your banana.
So I'd call up and be like, "I'm tired of talking about peaches. Talk about tits."
Yeah,
and be like, "I'm sorry,
how big
sir.
Are the nipples on your peaches? Ew. Are you playing with your peach nipples?"
That's upsetting. My brother was
we
telling
aren't that show at all.
My brother was telling me about a 1-800 number to call called 1-800 fuck ass.
Did you call it?
No.
Tyler's brother also joined us for dinner, for Michael's birthday dinner before the show, and then he was at the show, and we brought him up briefly.
Mm-hmm.
That dinner was delicious.
He's come a long way. Last time I met him, he was very shy and quiet, and
he's
like a good version
20.
Of you. He's like a good version of you. I like him.
Oh, thanks. Am I the great version of me?
You're the best version of you, Ty.
You're the original version of
you. Is that a callback?
A better version
I don't know what
you.
That means.
The best? Because I circled my name wrote
you're
the best.
You're the best.
Guys, I hate to do this, but I have to go engineer a show with Whiskey Pete right now.
Nope.
I have to go.
Nope. Guess what? After this, we got 2-hour marathon shows coming up.
What?
Because no one's got
to
be anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. I don't have to bail.
We don't have any kids. We don't have any jobs. We have nowhere to be.
Some of us might
We're just
going to
be sitting on the roof doing a show.
I'm with you, Mike. I'm with you.
That steak and lobster I had last Saturday was fantastic.
Twas.
Only had a bite of your lobster, and it was good.
Yep. That was delicious.
All right, I promise the listeners of this program that I will end Loveline with a kiss.
Ah, not too shabby.
I promise.
Not too shabby. Hope you remember.
I will not forget.
Thank you guys for coming to the live show. Thank you for everything.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. I'm sad that Loveline's leaving.
It's weird.
Air.
It feels like we're the you know how like what's that like a satellite that's still going out in space?
Yeah,
like, Sputnik.
Yeah,
no, not Sputnik. Sputnik.
No, we're just spinning.
Yeah, like the Jupiter missions or whatever. God,
Sputnik.
Mercury. Like, let's just say the Mercury missions are shut down, but like they're still there's still
just
things going.
Beep.
Yeah. We're still a satellite.
That's us. Beep. We're still out there.
I don't think that we're associated with Loveline. I really don't. Because I don't think of us as a Loveline associated show at all anymore.
After
at
this,
all.
We're not at all. Yeah.
But no, I don't think is. We were. I mean, we don't get plugs on the show.
No,
it's like
we were.
Pulling fucking teeth.
Well, well, that was, Loveline was our launching pad.
Yeah. Oh, to keep with the space analogy.
I get it.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
exactly.
Because I hate to do this, but I got to.
I know. You
got to
go.
I'm sorry. You guys can continue.
No,
you guys
want to?
I got to go too.
Come on. What?
I don't know.
Roof kisses.